Just a reminder, be sure to fill the questions we'll need for tonight's question and answer period. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Our present conference is on the Christian family as God's gift to the world. The Christian family as God's gift to the world. In this subject, the word Christian is essential. Certainly, the family is a gift of God. But the family, as we Catholics understand the term, came into existence only with the coming of Christ. It is impossible to exaggerate the importance of rearing truly Christian families. First, by way of explaining our terms, the family before the coming of Christ. I have a series of observations. Familia in Latin, from which our English word family is derived. Familia in Latin, for over 1,000 years, never meant a family. Familia in Latin meant a group of people living together with a man in charge. He could have, and the more wealthy he was, the more wives he had. As I'm sure you know, in the pagan Roman Empire, for almost 800 years, when a child was born, the father of the child was called in, looked over the baby. Next to the bed was a large pail full of water. Father's decision whether the child should remain alive or be drowned. This was the common practice, I repeat, for 800 years. Again, in the Roman Empire, contraception and abortion were legal throughout the Roman Empire. Again, infanticide was universally legalized. As we've said earlier, the father decided whether the newborn child should remain alive. And the majority of the children who were killed shortly after birth were the girls. Common practice, I repeat, in the Roman Empire. We go on. Familia. F-A-M-I-L-I-A. In the Latin vocabulary, meant not what we consider a family, meant a household. At the head of the household was a man who had wives. Depending on how wealthy he was, he'd have two, three, or more wives. He had wives and concubines, and the man was absolute, had control of what was called a familia. Hear it. Not until Christianity came into the world, the Latin word familia come to mean family. I have further observations. This is observation number 5. Even in Judaism, divorce, remarriage, and polygamy were the universal part of the so-called Mosaic life. It is impossible, and I mean impossible, to stress, or better, overstress, the introduction of one father, one mother, and the permanence of their partnership, one husband, one wife, with the children which they begot. That was not the understanding of a family for over 800 years in the entire Roman Empire. If you look at our country today, or read about what's going on in other nations, they are just going back to what they were before Christianity, shall I say, Christianized the world. Even, I repeat, in Judaism, a revealed religion as close as you could get to Christianity, there was, I repeat, divorce, remarriage, polygamy were part of the Mosaic Law. My 13 years of living and teaching in New York City taught me many things. One thing I learned, many of the Jewish people on entering marriage, on the marriage day, they would, and they do, sign an agreement to divorce. Because so few of the Jewish people expect to live with one wife, the husband, or with one man, the wife. And let me say this, the United States is becoming widely and deeply de-Christianized. The world, until Christianity came among the human race, the world did not know, did not believe what we commonly call monogamy, one husband, one wife, a family of children, all begotten by one husband and one wife. monogamy came into the world only with the dawn of Christianity. And for the first 300 years, Christians living a monogamous life had to, as we know, live in hiding. They were not tolerated by the pagan Roman Empire. And what was true 2,000 years ago when Christianity began is becoming widely, shall I say, truer in a country like ours, or England, or Germany. In the United States, annually there are as many divorces as there are marriages. Now the coming of Christ. It is impossible, and I mean impossible, to exaggerate the cosmic change which took place in human society once Christianity came into the world and countries became increasingly Christian. What were some of the drastic changes that Christianity brought into what we now call the family? But I would like to insert this sentence. The family in Western society is disappearing. Do you hear me? It is disappearing. There are now annually in America more divorces each year than there are marriages. With the coming of Christ, marriage became a sacrament. A sacrament, as we believe, is a source of extraordinary grace to those who receive the sacrament. In this case, the sacrament of matrimony gave the couple who married the ability to do the humanly impossible. And I mean humanly impossible. Like what? To practice monogamy. Monogamy before the dawn of Christianity was unknown in the whole world, including, as we know, in Judaism. For one man and one woman to marry, remain faithful to each other until death, was, I repeat, unknown before the rise of Christianity. It is impossible to overstate or exaggerate the cosmic change that Christianity brought into the world. But one reason for this conference is to bring out the fact that this Christianity, which dramatically changed human society as this Christianity becomes further and more deeply de-Christianized. We are returning to the pre-Christian condition of society before Christ was crucified on Calvary. We read, we hear, and then it leaves our minds. For the first 300 years, there were Christians throughout the Roman Empire. By the year 180 AD, some 70 years after Christ's death, we have record, hear it, of 100 dioceses along the shores of the Mediterranean. Both these Christians, for the first 300 years, had to live in hiding. They were a threat to the pagan members, what we call the Roman Empire. Monogamy was unknown, is unknown, everywhere in the world, except where Christianity is firmly, and I mean firmly established. The world is not monogamous. Except, of course, where there are still believing Christians. As a consequence, unity, stability, they accepted whatever children God sends, was unknown. For the rise of Christianity and came to be known only where there were authentic, and I mean authentic, Christian families. The whole idea of monogamy was utterly unique. A unique phenomenon in world history until Christianity came into the world. And it is still unique, only where authentic Christianity is still lived and faithfully practiced. I'll repeat, it may sound like too strong language. There has never been monogamy in any nation in world history except where Christianity is firmly established. Now, what has been and is the reaction of the pagan world? Originally, Christians who introduced monogamy and accepted the children that God wanted to send them. The first reaction, the Roman Empire, as we know, for some 300 years, was mainly a cruel hostility. gradually, after some 300 years, a change from incredulity. Pagans could not believe. These Christians had only one wife and reared the children God wanted to send them. Gradually, as Christianity became established, the situation changed from opposition to acceptance. And finally, it changed from rejection to imitation. But then, as Christianity became established and the members of what had been the Roman Empire were good believing Christians, there was a rising dissent. How this needs to be known. Over the years in teaching the non-Christian, non-Catholic religions, the first major break in Christian unity took place among the Eastern churches. It began around the 10th, 11th, and 12th centuries. By the 13th century, the Eastern churches broke with Rome. And the break was mainly they wanted to divorce their married partner and marry another person. And this in one declarative sentence is what the Orthodox Church is all. The Orthodox churches believe that a Christian can leave his marriage partner and marry another person. That's all there is. Several thousand volumes to the Orthodox Library. I repeat, that's all there is to the Orthodox religion. They wanted a divorce, and gradually bishops apostatized, and one dies after another, gave permission to the people to divorce and remarry. Over the centuries, the Catholic Church has done everything humanly possible to reverse that Orthodox practice. But no change. The second major break in the Catholic Church took place in the 16th century. And every one of the Orthodox churches that broke originally in four nations gradually it spread throughout Europe and now is common in America, Canada, wherever there is an original European origin to a people. Divorce and remarriage. That, in one sentence, is a reason for Protestantism. As I've said before, I have taught Protestantism for 16 years, including 7 years at a Protestant seminary. Of course, bring out to my students what was wrong with Protestantism. And they took notes. They took exams. And they better say what the Catholic Church teaches. I was hired and paid good money for teaching these Protestants in their Protestant seminaries what's wrong with Protestantism. Protestantism came into existence because Catholics wanted a divorce and remarried. There are some 45 volumes attributed to Martin Luther's writing. You can save yourself a lot of time. Protestantism can be reduced to one simple sentence. Give the people the right to divorce and remarry. Period. Close the book. Divorce with the right to remarriage gradually became legalized by one nation after another. And the pattern for the Western world, in which the state has control over marriage. Unless the state approves your divorce and right to remarry, you are not legally divorced. And this, too, was one of Martin Luther's principal contributions to Protestantism. Not the church, but the state must have control over marriage and divorce, and then, of course, a right over remarriage. Then, the second major break in Christianity, I repeat, took place in the 16th century. The third major break is still going on in the 20th century. Remember talking about the family. What happened in the 20th century? What used to be family life is widely disappearing. There has been widespread, all but universal, secularization of what once was a vital family life. Basically, the paganism or de-Christianization of the family has now become commonplace in the Western world. There are writers who know the history of our nation. Unless they say there is a widespread and deep restoration of Christianity in the Western world, with emphasis on the United States. The United States will become, as it is already becoming, a widespread pagan nation. If I thought of it, I would have brought the directory for the Catholic dioceses in America. A big, thick book. Cost of $100 each year's volume. You read one diocese after another, depending on the size of the diocese, may go on for a dozen up to 25 and 30 pages. There are, under each diocese in America, a list of all the closed parishes. And as I think I've said before, one of the most de-Christianized dioceses in America is the Archdiocese of Detroit. Long columns, I mean long columns, of closed churches. The Catholic school system in the United States has, for all practical purposes, disappeared. We go on. What have been the causes? What the Church calls the secularization of the family. I'm speaking to Catholics. In God's name, only we who are professed and I trust believing Catholics can preserve the family. What are some of the causes for the widespread, as we call it, secularization of the family? The first main cause is the media. Our newspapers, our radio and television programs consistently promote pagan, and I mean pagan morality. That is why one document, the Holy See, that I recommend all of you reading, in Latin, the title is Splendor Veritatis, the splendor of the truth. Now, looking at the causes for the widespread secularization and corresponding de-Christianization of our once beloved Christian country. Civil laws are being changed. They are reverting back to pre-Christian paganism. And I mean paganism. These are laws. You want to remain a Catholic. You want to keep your family intact. But you're in competition with the laws of one state after another. We go on. You're looking at the causes of this widespread secularization of our nation. Financial pressures against Catholic principles on marriage and the family. There are some families, thank God, some representative of this retreat, that have managed through miraculous grace to not only remain together in marriage, but to raise a sizable family. But this is very demanding, very difficult. Now the fourth cause. You'd be surprised what I'm going to say. The rise of Marxism, promoting social conflict between men and women. We think mistakenly Marxism died with the removal of Marxism from Russia. Oh no. The most widespread, the most powerful Marxist nation in the world is, please do not forget, is the United States. Marxism promotes social conflict between men and women. Marxism is, I mean what I'm saying, the law in America. And feminism is simply Marxism with its notorious hostility to the family. Hear it and don't forget. Most of the laboring force in America today is women. This is the heart of Marxism. And I repeat, the United States is the most powerful Marxist nation in the world. We go on. This may take a little longer than beyond 11:15. What are the necessary means to preserve the Catholic family? First, you must know what is happening in modern society. As society becomes de-Christianized, the Catholic family becomes the most vulnerable victim. This is the verdict of 2,000 years of Christian history. The opposition to the Catholic Church in America is widespread and very, very deep. We now in America have the lowest rate of bishops and priests ordained for the population. Secondly, deepen your faith convictions through continuing Catholic education. Read sound Catholic books and periodicals. Dare I say it, stop reading what I'm afraid most American Catholics are still doing. The secular press, the magazines published by notorious anti-Catholics. Listen to authentic Catholic lectures, radio, audio and video programs. Third recommendation. Organize as Catholic families. This is basic. Organize as Catholic families to protect your own and your children's Catholic faith. We know, and Catholics are hardly worried, we've closed 90% of our once Catholic schools by seducing the nuns to cease to be nuns, stop teaching children, and we now have close to 90% of our once Catholic schools closed. Organize to preserve your Catholic family heritage. Pray for the grace that you need, both as individual persons and as a family. Pray to obtain from God the light for the mind and the strength for the will to remain authentic, honest to God Catholics. This is very, very difficult to maintain today. I know. Oh, with stories I could tell, I could speak for weeks of the pressure I've been under to change my Catholic principles. This means obtaining from God superhuman wisdom and superhuman courage to remain authentically Catholic in today's widely de-Catholicized America. The phrase, family that prays together stays together. When was the last time your family prayed together as a family? I'm still going on. Use the sacraments of the Eucharist and confession. Believe me, I'm not a pious kook. I know what I'm talking about. What keeps us Catholics in the faith is a frequent reception of the Eucharist on the sacrament of confession. As we've said before, in the early church for the first 300 years, Christians went to Mass and Holy Communion ogni giorno, every day. And now, the Holy Father could not have dramatized it more solemnly. He now encourages Catholics to receive communion even twice a day. As we've been saying, confession should be frequent. And the Church's definition of frequent confession is every 2 weeks. Develop the use of the media to promote Catholic family principles. Thank God, finally, at long, long last, there was a Catholic radio station in Detroit, way overdue. We have no option as Catholics. Those who control the modern media are anti-Christian on principle. Teach, train your children from infancy.